This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, a podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host. This week on the show, we have some first-time guests on a relatively new topic for the show, but it's something that I'm seeing a lot more news about, and I thought it'd be worth diving into. So I've got John and Ian from Root. Guys, welcome to Apple at Work.
Hey, thanks for having us.
All right, so John, I'll start off with you. Can you give us kind of, before we get into what Root does, but you know, you all both have some pretty cool backgrounds that I think really shows why you're uniquely set up to tackle this problem. Can you give our audience some background on who you are and where you've come from?
Sure. I'm a CTO and co-founder of Root.io, company that we're part of. We call it Root. And I started this company after being at Cisco for about 4 years or so. It was the cloud security business unit where I was head of product. And that was a cybersecurity business unit focused on modern cloud problems, like making sure that your, SaaS or infrastructure as a service or cloud tools aren't being compromised. And that's the kind of culmination of about 20 plus years in cybersecurity at sort of executive positions, and founding positions of companies.
Awesome. Awesome. Ian, what about you? Can you give us a little bit of background on who you are?
Sure. So I've been at a number of different startups. My background was I was originally in military intelligence, and I've always been passionate about the cybersecurity field. And John and I have been, this is our third or so stint together. So we were both at an early cloud CASB vendor called CloudLock. And then again, we got acquired into Cisco, where we both, played parts as part of the formation of the cloud security business unit there, merging with OpenDNS, which ultimately became Umbrella. And I've done extensive work with the highly regulated and a variety of highly regulated and high demand cybersecurity environments. So we were really excited to explore how we can solve this next space around software supply chain security, which we think is certainly is getting more and more underscored every day, that developers and cybersecurity professionals alike, as well as regulators, are more and more looking at and criticizing and trying to come up with approaches.
I was actually an early customer of OpenDNS's enterprise product, back in 2012. Great okay. product. I loved OpenDNS. I mean, it's that old cybersecurity meme. It's like it's always DNS. Like that's always, it's like it's always, I mean, it's like so simple, but it just, it's like so much of it's critical. OpenDNS was a great product. And I think, Cisco, I think has done a great job with it.
Well, I think over the years too. That goes to speak to, like, I think in general to a lot, and this is certainly what we saw when we were at CloudLock with CASB, and certainly one of the things we're trying to do here at Root, right, is some of the best cybersecurity products in the world are super simple. They shouldn't be complex. It should just be akin to a plug and play type experience, right? Kind of like what we kind of expect with most of our Apple products. It just kind of works, and it should require a heavy lift. So that's certainly one of the core foundational things that we're trying to do here as well, is software supply chain security should not be this multi-million dollar, multi-month or year project, right? That, only the biggest companies in the world can figure out how to tackle. We're trying to make it attainable and usable by literally anyone that wants to build on containerized software.
No, the software supply chain stuff is something I'm seeing a lot in the news and thinking about a lot. I mean, because it's the hardware supply chain is kind of almost gets the headlines because it's like you can see that and it's like, oh, something coming from this country into this country, it has a hardware backdoor. And you're like, well, that's very easy for people to like to visualize the problem. So, oh, if you have a backdoor in the hardware, you can do anything. But there, I think that's the challenge, and people don't conceptualize that with software. You're like, you're pulling all these libraries from different places and, you know, all this open source code. And you're like, that, and it's not a bad process, but like, it just opens up a ton of vulnerabilities there. So, I mean, obviously, you all have a passion for this. From a high level, what does Root aim to solve, and how does it aim to solve this problem?
So, modern cloud applications are all built from containerized workloads. This is a container is a kind of an image, portable image of software that gets built up, and that's what runs in places like Kubernetes and in Amazon Web Services, et cetera. These containers contain your applications, your software, or pieces of applications that talk to each other. So you can have lots of these containers running in the cloud. The containers are the embodiment of modern software, and in so much, they are built from largely open source software. Thousands of libraries can be in any one of these containers, Linux, all the libraries you use, Node.js or Python. A tiny fraction of that is your code. I'll call it first-party code, the code you write on top of all that. Vast majority of it came from the supply chain. So software supply chain security is really just software security in the modern age when most of that stuff is built by someone else, some maintainer, single maintainer somewhere in the world that you decided to use in your libraries. Those come with lots of vulnerabilities when you have this open source software. A lot of this stuff is being developed very quickly and maintained in a way that it makes it hard, basically, to keep track and keep up with all of the vulnerabilities that get into that software. And it's really the end user of that software, this the person building the SaaS application that's responsible for making sure they're not putting vulnerabilities into production and building their apps off that. That's a big cybersecurity risk. Our application, our software at Root, we build a SaaS platform that can automatically remediate vulnerabilities in these container images. We do it in minutes. You show us your container, you point us to it, we take it into our system, we analyze it, evaluate it, look at its vulnerabilities, and then we patch all of those vulnerabilities automatically. And then emit a new container, and that new container is just like the old container, except all the vulnerabilities are patched away. What I just described is usually an insurmountable task for most organizations to figure out and patch all those vulnerabilities and make them go away. And compliance regimes like PCI DSS4 or SOC2 or others mandate that you fix those vulnerabilities and you get them down to a zero state in certain timeframes. For instance, with FedRAMP, you have to get all your highs and criticals down in about 7 days. So that's really challenging. Organizations spend tons of money trying to do that. It takes them months, if not years, or if not ever, to actually get all of their containers, which can number in the hundreds or thousands, to this place where they're secure, risk-free, and compliant. And our system can do that for an organization in a matter of a few hours across the board. That's what we do. So we're accelerating this vulnerability management for container images.
Would it be a fair analogy, and I'll edit this up if I'm wrong, so it'll look like an idiot, Log4j many years ago that ruined a lot of people's Christmases. And obviously, like, similar thing that was like an, you know, open source in library. And that led to like a really healthy discussion of open source and the enterprise of, like, you know, it's a conundrum of like, we want to be collaborative and work together, but then it's kind of like you have just dependencies that frankly you can't pay to go away. Is it fair to say that's something that you all would have had a much easier time patching for people had this product existed then?
So our approach, again, so the short answer is yes. Like, our approach is fundamentally different than the way we, being the industry, might think about this. And that's part of why we created, you know, recreated the company Root, and why we named it Root, is we took a first principles approach and said, well, what if we just, rather than doing what the rest of the industry does, which is trying to, and you brought this up a moment ago, right? Like, how do I figure out if this is something that's actually impacting to me? And if this is something that I can possibly fix? And if there is a fix, how fast can I get that implemented without breaking everything that I have already built? Or what are all the mitigating controls and layers that I need to put in front of this to make myself feel comfortable and my auditors and my customers feel comfortable that I'm not introducing additional risk through my, as being part of their software supply chain or as part of their vendor chain? And when you take a step back and you kind of say, well, what if I get rid of the triage part? And now all of a sudden I have a system that just fixes everything for me. It's a very different approach than what everyone else is doing. And it would have been challenging to do this a few years ago, right? You know, one of the things that we've done here at Root that's different and than kind of what's ever been done before is we've brought in, you know, we have a couple of other co-founders as well, you know, that came in from Cloudinary and brought in deep user UX type of expertise and making the product, really complex products, really approachable. And then we brought in deep security expertise, you know, from Benji Kalman to be able to support us on the. He built out and ran the R&D team at Sneak. And what we were able to do is kind of bring all that together and with John and I, and we started to build out an agentic AI fleet, if you will, to help support this rapid R&D and ultimately patch development and implementation workflow that, again, allows us to sidestep the triage process to a certain extent and really just focus on the fix. And so that's why, you know, with Log4j, there's literally still organizations out there today that haven't solved for that problem because it would require so much work to be able to get it implemented without breaking the way that they have everything architected. We're able to fix those types of risks surgically without introducing breaking changes. I'm not just talking about Log4j. You know, candidly, if you're still running a version of Log4j instance that's still vulnerable, you should probably seriously think about fixing that and, you know, fundamentally. But the bigger challenge is if you're building on a still supported version of Debian or Ubuntu or Alpine or something like that, and you're using Python or Node, or you're using some of these other really large and popular open source projects, which, by the way, still today, you know, every company is building on software. You know, these open source projects account for, you know, 80 to 95% of the underlying software that you're building on. You need to patch that. You need to solve those problems, and balancing that the business outcome with the security risk outcome is always challenging. We're trying to basically say, forget the triage, just patch it all, just fix it all. We won't introduce that risk. And that's, again, we've built that platform and we've built it using these agentic AI capabilities behind the scenes that kind of support that ecosystem that didn't exist a few years ago.
From a pricing standpoint, you all have it looks to be a pretty generous free plan, and then obviously you have a Teams plan, and then you have the enterprise plan. Where is this something from? Like people learning about you all, are they starting with the free and they're like, we got to go to enterprise? What's been the kind of the customer journey so far as they've deployed you all? Because I mean, for me, it sounds like one of those things. Security is something that not that there is. An infinite budget, but like the risk of having these issues in your software supply chain seems like it just is drastically worse than just simply partnering with an organization like you.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is, it's still, what we're doing is still relatively novel. We just got back from KubeCon EU and we were slammed the entire time, which is always exciting for us to see and to kind of have that engagement. What I would say is the most common reaction we get from people is skepticism. that this is something that we can actually do, which also I got to give a big shout out to my team and the team here that we've built a platform that does that. And then, but what I would tell you, and certainly Mickey Gordon, our CPO, would say is the average time for someone going in and using our product to getting a fully patched outcome is under 5 minutes. That's from the first time you sign up to the second that we're shipping back to you a fully patched image. And we're super right now. We're like, again, we've built the platform in a way to be very efficient and to also be accessible to anyone and everyone. So anyone can come in and start using the product. We also are a Docker verified publisher. We have a whole bunch of number of different base images that people are free to build that are based on open source and are open source and you can build on. Most of the time people come back to us are the ones and the ones that want those higher tiers or support. They're paying for the SLA. And this is where the we're seeing a dramatic increase in the compliance and the regulatory requirements, certainly with CRA rolling out. John mentioned a number of different types of regulatory frameworks and compliances that people are required to meet. I need to be able to guarantee a 30, 60, 90. I need to be able to guarantee a 7-day critical resolution, 7-day or 15-day high, so on and so forth. Root can deliver all these, and that's where those SLA guarantees and those CVE resolution prioritizations go into effect. So anyone's welcome to sign up on the platform today. It's fully free. And then as you need more, as your requirements go up or as you want to expand and add more containers and use the platform more, we'd be happy to sell you a license.
Well, I think, John said something maybe I can't maybe come back to. I mean, this clearly is an industry that has a lot of attention. The cloud security industry, we can see that Google bought Wiz for $32 billion. If someone's been watching M&A for 20 years in IT, that seems like a stupid amount of money, but it's like, it's just, that shows, and I don't mean stupid, like it was a bad move. Wiz is an incredible platform and was, grown left by incredible year-over-year growth, but just everything to do with security in the cloud has a lot of attention because as we've moved so many workflows directly to the cloud, and not just for cost, but just the magnitude of the reach, for every solution you have two problems, and this is clearly just as the security moves up the stack, and that shows the interest in it. So. Yeah, so that's awesome. I mean, KubeCon, I've heard a lot of good things about KubeCon EU. And, I think that's an early trend, from the business side, when you're still in that, new mode and you go to a show and you're like, booth is packed organically, I think that shows that especially when you come at a problem from first principles approach and say, what if we just threw out everything that people thought about how to secure containers and like start fresh? And it sounds like really that's what you all did just from we've seen customers have this problem. We know this problem exists and let's go and solve it. In some ways, the same way that you happen in cloud security, you just have to take a new approach. I mean, OpenDNS and Umbrella were a perfect example of that. Like how do we solve security for roaming and mobile devices in a new and different way? And certainly in a time period when you didn't have as much access on the devices as you might now. Sounds amazing. From a business standpoint, and I don't know if it's public, so if it's not public, you don't have to answer, but like, have you all taken on, I know you have a couple of investment partners, but from a funding standpoint, have you all taken on any funding rounds or what's the next step on the business side?
Yeah, so we're very fortunate. We have a number of investors. We're backed by Insight Partners, Decibel, Bold Start, and FXP, just to name a few, Tech Aviv. We've raised roughly $41 million. We're small and agile, but we're moving into, as I think I mentioned before, we're moving into the go-to-market motion, which is why we're getting more and more users onto the platform. We're only about a quarter into that, and we're already really excited about some of the wins that we're bringing on. So we're trying to move out of that stage from a an early industry best kept secret to a known trusted entity. And there's many different things that we're doing there to try to help that, including, you know, we're thrilled to have some time with you today about to talk about it. I did want to make one other comment, though. You brought up a good point about how people are thinking about this space and the trends that are starting to emerge there. And one of the trends that we certainly heard quite a bit from, we've been getting asked from analysts, and when we talked to a lot of prospects and customers, there is this emerging trend that the only way that you could possibly secure your software supply chain is effectively by going into a walled garden. And going into a tightly controlled, gated community, right, of base images and source code that you're building on. And A, that's not how the world works today. That's not how we innovate, right, as an entire industry, and as developers and as consumers. I think that this is part of the reason why everything that we're doing is based on and focused on supporting open source and also maintaining that open source licensing through the entire process, and offering this up to projects and folks that they can literally just go sign up and use it today and plug it into their pipeline for their projects.
I think people underestimate it. Open source software, of course, has been one of the highest productivity leverage things to happen in human history, right? All of human productivity and growth in the recent years has been kind of leveraged by software. And Marc Andreessen famously said, "Software will eat the world." Well, it ate it, and we're better for it. But what's overlooked is that it's been remarkably secure. In fact, if you remember back a while ago, right, it was Microsoft that used to be pointed at for not being secure, and they were proprietary software from the get-go. Linux came around, an open source platform, let everybody see the code. And guess what? It's been pretty secure, right? It's been pretty good. I know the Mac products are built off this kind of open source legacy. They're fantastic, right? So we shouldn't give open source a bad rap. And certainly the wrong answer is to go back to walled gardens, where some small number of entities own and control the software flow from open source is the wrong idea. Because what will happen is, of course, kind of business interests get in the way. They intermediate the ability to execute. And oftentimes that results in lower security. Whereas the open source community and that trust and transparency and free access has given security people like us the ability to go look at that code and make our opinions known and find vulnerabilities. So in all cases, open source transparency breeds trust, and trust breeds security. And that's what we need more of.
That walled garden approach only works in this, like, world that doesn't exist, where your software runs in a vacuum and it's only used, it's used completely offline on, and something you control, like that world doesn't exist. Like, everything interconnects, and you make your point, like, Mac OS is built on top of Unix. And so I think that's really the healthy thing, is to take open protocols and layer services and commercial products on top of them, because you if you have that foundation, it there's a level of trust, and it's no different. I mean, I always use analogies around construction, but like, every time a builder goes to build a home, the process of getting wood is a known, like, getting wood from trees is like a known thing. And as the industry has grown up, like, we've made wood better. There's new, pressure treated wood. Like, the industry has moved forward together with this naturally occurring commodity in terms of, like, wood. But if there was something that we all found as industry, like, hey, this type of wood in this climate, this climate doesn't do well, well, then the entire industry can adjust and get better for that. And I think that's the balance here, is because the entire world is networked. In some ways, our software needs to be open and, literally eliminate that vendor lock-in, where, like, everybody can kind of use the best and brightest. And I think that just we as an industry are healthier for that. But again, I think that's where it's important to have products that can help you not trust, but verify your secure, not just say, oh, this is open source, so we're going to trust it 100%. It's verify that we're secure, and if we're not, figure out a way to patch it.
And the users of open source have to think about it like this. Open source is free, freely available, free like like puppies, though, not like beer. You get a free puppy. It's your job to, you know, to own that puppy and deal with it, right? And it was great. You know, the puppy is a wonderful thing, and you know, and they're abundant. But when you take one, you need to care for it, and that's the part that needs to happen. We want to keep the ecosystem the way it is. Just give people tools, give users of that open source software tools that let them care for that puppy. In a fast and easy way, and that's what we do. We give you the tools so that the consumers of open source can make it secure.
And by the way, this is the especially with the developments around AI, right? We've never seen the types of adoption that we're seeing right now of people YOLOing open source projects, right? In very large, from large enterprises down to small. And so I was just last night, for example, I was playing around with some of the latest images that were released from Open Web UI. And if you scan the latest one, they're doing everything they can, that project, right? And they're adopted and deployed, and everyone's everywhere from people's home, like running it on their local, you know, Docker desktop, to people that are running it in huge, you know, Fortune 500s, right? These implementations, right? They scan it, they're looking for these vulnerabilities, and they might not be able to deploy that software and use it and make the most of that that container because of the various findings that are in it, even in the latest. And so when I scanned it and ran it, there was hundreds of vulnerabilities, medium up to critical, and threw it into root. And I was able to output and eliminate all the criticals and all the highs. And I think we eliminated like 80% of the mediums without even doing. Now our fleet of AI is off trying to fix it. Right. So, but the point is that this, it doesn't need to be like this huge effort to get these types of outcomes and make security and a secure software supply chain accessible to everyone, from a home user to an enterprise. This, we've broken the mold and proven that anyone can innovate and implement this level of security, and this type of this should be the new baseline going forward. SLA should no longer take months; it should take hours and days. And anyone should be able to patch all the time, just not depending on APT get.
Yeah, I mean, as there's a it's different type of security product. I was talking to a patch management company last week, and they had a report that came out that like 77% of companies like really struggled to, even if they knew the vulnerabilities, was like getting the patch deployed was like a huge problem. And it's like, so that shouldn't be the burden. So guys, this has been a great discussion. We'll have a link in the show notes if you want to learn more about Root. I think this is one of those where like, This is like where the industry comes together to like deal with problems as an industry. And it doesn't mean we like solve them just for free. It's like, hey, we build solutions that, you know, commercial solutions that can help us. And again, FedRAMP was a good example. Like when you need to deal with FedRAMP issues, like in some ways, like money's no object. Like you just want solutions. And I think that's the key. But I'm going to use in the show title, Free Like Puppies. That was a pretty good analogy. That'll be the show title. So, guys, thanks for taking the time with us today. Again, we'll have a link to check out more about Root in the show notes, and we'll talk to everybody next week.